The Roundabout Theater Company's production of Anything Goes, winner of three 2011 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Revival and Choreography, opened last night at Proctor's in Schenectady and runs through Sunday. One of the greatest musicals in theater history, Cole Porter's first-class musical comedy, comes here following a triumphant run on Broadway, where the New York Times called it a musical comedy joy, and the USA Today hailed it as glorious and exuberant. In addition to the title song, the show includes the Porter classics I Get a Kick Out of You, DeLovely, You're the Top, Friendship, Easy to Love, and many more. Fred Applegate plays Moonface Martin in the show and joins us this morning. He starred in London and on Broadway as Max Bialystock in The Producers. His Broadway credits include Sisseract, La Cage aux Folles, Young Frankenstein, and The Sound of Music. It is a great pleasure to welcome Fred to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
It's a delight to have you here. What is it like to be on a touring company of a very successful revival?
Well, it's
of a great show.
Of a great show. Well, the show is great, and the people, we're blessed with a lovely group of people who get along and go to the theater every night to do their best, and so we're a very happy tour. It's basically being away from home for a year, so there's a lot of stresses involved in that, and one hotel room becomes, it's odd what your priorities become. You know, you walk into a hotel with a great-looking lobby, and you think, eh, I don't live in the lobby. What's the room like?
Yes.
Because, you know, and the shower valve, that's become my pet peeve. There are too many different shower valves in the world, and I believe the government should step in and regulate. I'm kidding. But
have some sort of uniformity to the showers.
The last thing you want to do, you get up after a travel day, it's early in the morning, you're bleary, you walk in and you have to put your glasses on to figure out how to use the shower. It's not a good start to your day.
And is it the same like backstage? Do you have those same issues that they're all different? And
the difference, yeah. Well, the one blessing in that is that we travel with our own deck. So every time we move into a theater, the floor we're on, we actually travel with. We put a floor on top of the floor in the theater.
I see.
So as long as we're on our deck, everything's exactly where it was in the previous theater. As soon as we step off the deck, we're completely lost. But our stage managers put up these big, bright-colored neon signs showing where everything is. But I tell you, if one of those signs is missing, we just wander around for days.
You've had an amazing career. I mentioned starring in London and Broadway as Max Bialystock in The Producers. You also were in Young Frankenstein, both Mel Brooks productions.
Right.
And in the case of Young Frankenstein, you originated that role. Mm-hmm. as the hermit, the Gene Hackman part, we'll call it.
Exactly.
I would think, from an outsider looking in, that seems like a cool gig.
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing gig. And I will go right out front and say I owe Mel Brooks a great deal. He's a terrific man, and he was very kind to me. And working for him is thrilling. There's a scene in that Hermit scene where he wrote a song for the Hermit, which is not in the Young Frankenstein movie.
The movie.
In the style of Al Jolson.
Yes.
And we were rehearsing it. And at one point, I found myself doing an Al Jolson song on one knee with Mel Brooks next to me on one knee doing the song together. And I made sure that I remembered exactly what that felt like.
You take that 3 seconds to realize that that's happening.
Just turn and look at that. That is Mel Brooks on his knee next to me doing my number with me. And I said, okay, I can die now.
Yeah, that doesn't get much better than that. Really. And it was such a great scene. And I love that show. You were great in that show.
Thanks.
It had an amazing cast. Andrew Martin was in it. Sutton Foster was in it.
Roger Bart.
Roger Bart played. Yeah. It was Megan Mullally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I also have to mention Shuler Hensley, who was the monster, because that cabin scene where, you know, I set his finger on fire and I pour hot soup in his lap. Without his deadpan, that it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
So it was both of us.
And do you get a sense of because a lot is made from, you know, of Broadway taking so much from film, so much from cinema, and bringing it into theater and musical theater. Mm-hmm. And we see that, of course, with Kinky Boots and Once, and the list goes on and on. So, and then you look at a show like this, Anything Goes, which is, you know, an old classic, and it's been around for years, and we rightfully trot it out every once in a while and dust it off and give it new life. But do you have a sense of, as a performer, is there one over another, or is it just all good?
Well, you know, a completely original idea is a wonderful thing to work on, because everything is fresh and all the ideas are new. But going back, you know, Carousel's based on Lilium, My Fair Lady's based on Pygmalion. I mean, musicals tend to come from other genres, because you take a story that lends itself to music and then you add the music, which is a complicated thing to do. So it's not really like filming a play. When you add music, you're really writing something new. Is that what your question was?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
No, you answered my vague question.
Well, wow, that's good. Yeah. Not even noon yet.
No. So when you look at material like this, and it's just, I mean, it's playtime, right?
It is, but not that it hasn't been tweaked in its 75-year history. There was a new book written in the 60s, and there was a new book written in 1987 by Tim Krause and John Wideman, and that's the one we're doing. And we're also fortunate to have Tim and John with us during rehearsals for this tour, talking to us about the history of what they've written and how they changed it. In fact, when the show opened in 1934, it already had a new book, because the original story, at the end of Act One, the boat sank. And which is a little grim for a musical to begin with. But a couple months before the show opened in 1933, there was a boat sank going from New York to London. So they panicked and said, we can't have the boat sink. So they had to rewrite Act Two and keep everybody on the boat. And so by the time it opened, it had already gone through two books.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's bad luck.
But it's important, I would think, to know that history of the show going into it.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing, right, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, it is. And it's also nice to know where things came from and what the history of how this morphed into what it was.
Right. To give it some context and give it some depth.
Yeah.
When you look at the but in the end, yes, it's been tweaked, but it's still, at the end of the day, it's still Cole Porter.
And the amazing thing is all this music was written for this show, because you see a show like, you know, a lot of the popular shows are called jukebox musicals, where they take existing music and write a show around
Jersey Boys,
Million Dollar Quartet, Mamma Mia, which I think is terribly clever. But this show, the amazing thing is all these songs that are just in our DNA now as Americans were written for this show. It's really astounding.
Yeah, you don't have to mix, stir, and enjoy, because they were all there.
Yeah.
And I mentioned, you know, I Get a Kick Out of You, De Lovely, You're the Top, Easy to Love. I mean, these are all classics in the American songbook.
Yeah. Yeah.
I assume you bring that up because people are surprised. Do they think that they've all sort of been created?
I think people are used to it. And
yes,
when they see a show like this with one huge hit song after another that they know, they assume that someone has inserted them into the show.
Mm.
But this is why the show was such an amazing success.
Is there, we started talking about this, of touring, going on the road, and the showers and all that.
Okay, that was a little mundane, but you asked.
No. I was very curious. But I mean, is it all good in the sense of, I mean, if you had your druthers where you have a gig like Sister Act, or you have a gig like Young Frankenstein, where you're in it for, you know, this is my year run.
Mm-hmm. Well, I moved to New York in 2007, so my plan is to settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
We lived in California for a long time. And when I toured with the producers, we still had kids in school. And that's really, it's a really hard life, being away from your base. And but now that the kids are all grown and on their own, my wife is able to come join me on the road as much as she wants. And we're actually having a pretty good time.
So But there is something about whether you're on Broadway, whether you're on the road, there is something about stability. I mean, that's a rare thing in the theater.
Well, there's something about an income, which is also a rare thing
in the
theater.
Well, yeah, that's sort of what I meant by stability.
Oh,
I
okay. Guess. I'll assume stability means income.
Yeah, well, I mean, a steady check. You're working.
Yes, I am working, and I've been very blessed to do nothing but this forever how long? 35 years now. And still have some college loans to pay off, but otherwise, who doesn't?
No, and it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Yeah. And you think of a show, and again, I've mentioned your credits of Sister Act and La Cage aux Folles and The Producers and Young Frankenstein and Sound of Music. It's such a wonderful mix, but they're all great musicals.
Yeah, they are. I've been blessed with getting good stuff to do.
So what is your training to the background was always to go into musical theater?
When I was seven, the high school next to my elementary school did The King and I, and they needed children for the Siamese children.
Yes.
And of course, since it was the 50s, they got all the kids from around the corner, and we were the Siamese children. And I was 7 years old, and I told my father I was going to be an actor. That was it.
7 years old.
Yeah. I did that one show. And my father's reaction was, and God bless him, he said, "How do you do that?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, find out." That was it.
And you did.
100% supportive from then on.
Yeah. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, that helps. I mean, that in some cases, obviously talent helps an awful lot, but in some cases, that's the difference between success and failure, I think.
Well, the talent comes in handy when you have the job. The passion and the pigheadedness and the stubbornness comes in handy when you don't have a job, because you can't be discouraged.
Yeah,
because you can't really think of anything else to do.
Do you wonder of what? Because does it make sense in the sense of you just get off the road? And I'm making this up. I don't know what your story is in the sense of, you know, you come off the road after a long time or you've had a successful Broadway run, and then the next job doesn't come right away, and you're like, well, I was just in this. Why can't I be in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But there's no rhyme or reason to that.
There really isn't. And you just have to keep working. You have to keep churning. It is like being a building contractor. You can't wait until the building is finished to start digging for the next building project. I mean, while I'm working on this, I am already working on what's next. And sometimes that works, which is great, and sometimes it doesn't. But there's a lot of aspects to making the business work that are not related to performing at night. And you have to learn what they are as well to keep it moving.
The show Anything Goes, you are where on the tour? Are you?
We're getting toward the end. We're going to finish up November 17th. We're going to go to Toronto for 5 weeks, which we're all looking forward to. And then West Coast, Seattle, Spokane, Portland, and November 17th, we'll be home for Thanksgiving.
Excellent.
After 14 months.
And when do you start thinking about the next thing? I mean, has that already started? Or?
Well, actually, it takes a long time for these things to get going. And the ideal thing is to get in on the first reading. When they finish a musical, they give it to a group of people and they say, "We want to hear what this is." And if you can get into those readings, then you're sort of in their minds for the next part of what's coming up. And there's a couple shows I've been working on for a few years that should start to happen in the next 6 months.
Yeah. So you put your hand in a couple, and with a little luck, one will turn up.
It's a crapshoot. I mean, come on, it's not a science. It's a crapshoot.
Much like the shower faucets. Well, you just don't know what you're going to get when you walk in. You never know.
No, you don't.
Fred Applegate stars in Anything Goes, playing at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady through Sunday. Rachel York starring in the show. Beautiful,
wonderful,
voice.
Charming, fabulous, amazing actress, delightful person.
Terrific. Yes. Cast and getting wonderful reviews. Proctors.org for more information. Proctors.org. Fred Applegate, a great pleasure. Thank you very much
Thank
for being
you.
With us. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.